This episode of Finding Fairways is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting and was pre-recorded. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, Up North Sports Radio. Welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to us by Carl's Golfland here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with my co-host this week, Joe Charles, the Director of Golf Instruction at Boyne Golf Academy. And Joe, you and I have been texting a lot, haven't been able to talk a lot, because just how incredibly busy the Academy has been.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we sometimes in northern Michigan here, you kind of get that midsummer slump where people start to not care about their game as much as they do in the first half of the year, and that is not the case right now. It is rocking, and you know, we're very, very busy with lessons. We're just finishing up a junior golf school here right now, so it's good to see. The weather's been fantastic. You know, a little soggy in June, but it's been pretty good here as of late.
Joe, how much do you kind of credit that for the addition of the TrackMan range? That has got to be such a great tool for the students that you're trying to bring different concepts to and be able to show them data right away.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice to have people coming out here. You know, it just brings more and more exposure to our facility and everything we have to offer. You know, people coming in and, you know, seeing the golf ball doing different things and seeing some data, and then, you know, not necessarily knowing how to fix it themselves, and it's just a really easy conversation to have and say, okay, well, let's talk about why that driver has, you know, 4,000 spin on it. Let's see what we can do to, you know, cut that in half and make the ball go 20 yards further. So definitely the TrackMan range has been a huge asset to our facility, along with all the other improvements that they're doing here at Boyne Highlands. It's really, really cool to see the trajectory that things are going here.
With all the advent of the TrackMan, especially the full-fledged TrackMan range at the Boyne Golf Academy, what are some of the other things that you've been doing that are additions to teaching your students?
Yeah, so I just mentioned that we just finished a junior golf school, and you know, that's one of the focuses that we've really had this year, is having an outreach to, you know, juniors and then people who are, you know, new to the game. We have a huge Get Golf Ready program that we just finished up a couple weeks ago. And Get Golf Ready has been around a long time, but our program, you know, this is the biggest year ever for it. We had 36 people enrolled in it, and it was, you know, Tuesday, you know, kind of a basic Tuesday night, weekly clinic style session. But to have 36 people out, you know, trying to get some instruction and learn some of the fundamentals like the grip and how to hold, you know, how to hold the club, how to set up to the golf ball, you know, how to move during, you know, simple motion for a golf swing is really, really cool. And my hats are off to our facilities here, the support of our management team, Bernie Friedrich, Josh Richter, John Myers, you know, for giving up their driving range, you know, during some busy Tuesday evenings. And, you know, we'll have 8-9 golf pros all teaching these, you know, these beginners all at once at, you know, at 6 to 7 p.m. at night. So having, you know, doing little things like that, getting new people into the game is really, really awesome to see. And it's, you know, it's kind of what we're all about here at Boyne.
Yeah, I mean, the explosion of the Golf Academy, and I know you won't take it, you hopefully take it as a compliment. A lot of it has happened under your management. So you've got to feel immensely proud of how much the Golf Academy's grown.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, we've started off, you know, last year, my first year here, and it was obviously a little bit of a goofy year, and we had an exceptionally busy year for how strange it was. And, you know, this year we're setting even new records, and, you know, there's just so much excitement in golf right now. You know, I mean, we'll talk about Colin Morikawa and, you know, the British Open and, you know, the fans back at tournaments later, but, you know, that and, you know, all the good young players in the game right now, and it's just such a healthy sport, and it's really, really cool to see, you know, the interest in golf. You know, the, you know, there's the DeChambeau conversations and the Koepka conversations and the, you know, Phil Mickelson winning, you know, the PGA. So, you know, one for the old guys, which is really cool. So, you know, golf couldn't be in a better place than it is right now. Yeah, I think the only thing that could make it any better is if Bobby Jones came out of the grave. Maybe Tiger healed his left leg, and we had a little match between him and Jack Nicklaus and Bobby Jones. But other than that, you know, it's in pretty good hands right now.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and that was the next point I was going to bring up. We saw Colin Morikawa win the Open Championship the first time he ever played real Lynx golf, becoming the first player ever to win his debut majors in both the PGA and the Open Championship, and looked extremely comfortable to do it. There's a number of things I want to talk about, Joe, from your perspective, a teacher's perspective, of number one, how in control this guy's game is, but more importantly, the precision of his iron play. I mean, he is as accurate as any player with throughout his entire bag as anyone we've seen.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, one of the things that I look for, you know, in when players, especially American players, go over to play Lynx golf, is really solid strikers of the golf ball. If you're a really solid striker of the ball where you make really, really good crisp clean contact time after time after time, you're going to have a pretty good chance anywhere you go. Because when you go over there, the turf conditions are just so different. The grass is different. Generally, you know, I don't know that it was super, super firm, as firm as it normally is over there, but, you know, it's going to be firmer. The ball's not going to be sitting up on a tee like we have in our bent grass here in northern Michigan.
Right.
So, you know, the ability to really strike the ball cleanly, which obviously Colin is, you know, exceptionally good at, is just a skill that, you know, can't be understated. And you saw that with him. You saw that with, you know, Louis Oosthuizen. And some of these players that were at the top of the leaderboard weren't necessarily the bomb and gougers. It was the really good swingers of the club who, you know, consistently make really, really solid contact. So it's good to see, you know, a little bit of that, you know, with these players rather than just having the ability to hit it 400 yards and gouge a pitching wedge onto the green on long holes.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously both Koepka and DeChambeau figured things out a little bit, but they were too far back to end up being able to win. They both shot 65s on the last day. But going back to Morikawa, and yes, Louis Oosthuizen is also a wonderful swinger of the golf club and very accurate as well, although we saw in his final round, you know, losing it off to the right, you know, just not being quite as sharp. I mean, other than just saying go out and practice more, how can you explain to our listeners how to improve your accuracy?
Yeah, so going right back to the technology that we just talked about, having a really, really good sense for, you know, first of all, what makes the ball go different directions, what makes the ball curve different directions, and understanding it and then having feels to associate it with it are super, super important. So, you know, we talk about TrackMan all the time on this program, but, you know, it's so important to these elite-level players that they even have the orange boxes out on the practice tee with them before they warm up before a round of golf. That's how important it is to them. They're constantly checking their numbers. So if you're not using some type of technology or launch monitor system to be able to get a feel for what the path the club is traveling on, what the club face is doing at impact, you know, what the angle of attack is, you know, all of those really, really important things, it's really a lot harder to control, you know, the direction of your shots and, you know, where that ball's going to curve. And that's, you know, golf is, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, it's not as much of an art form as it used to be. It's more scientific now. And, you know, anytime you're in science, having the great, you know, the best technology available to you, and, you know, basically we're not guessing anymore. We're measuring, you know. So right by measuring things, you know, we can get down to the nitty-gritty and really make changes, you know, very important.
Going back to what you were talking about controlling the turf, yeah, especially I remember hearing before the tournament started, after Morikawa played his first practice round, changed out some of his irons, the lie angle of the irons, because you weren't getting the same kind of bounce to the ground. And you saw that just smaller divots with the dirt flying out underneath it. Sometimes you'll see that on some of the golf courses here in northern Michigan that are close to the dunes. You'll see that on the Forest Dunes course. The turf is a lot different than the bent grass fairways that we're talking about. And it makes for a completely different compression of the ball in the way the ball moves through the air.
Yeah, and any of these environments, like, you know, over there, you know, like you just mentioned, Forest Dunes, you know, I'm getting ready to play in my yearly program at Crystal Downs in a few weeks. You know, these lengthy style courses with a sand base underneath them, the grass is going to grow differently, and, you know, it's more importantly, the moisture that is in the soil is going to drain out much faster. It's going to get drier. It's going to get firmer. And that's the way those courses are designed to be played. And, you know, because of that, the club interacts with the ground very, very differently. So, you know, you see, like you just said, players changing equipment a little bit and as a result changing the bounces on their wedges and, you know, interacting with the ground very differently.
We'll let Joe get a glass of water.
Hey, you'll have to excuse me. I've had 11 kids here on a junior golf school all day today since 9 a.m. I've been having to raise my voice from time to time.
I was going to say, Joe, you know, I know how busy you've been, and I know it's what you were bred to do, what you love to do, but with the busy schedule you have from doing lessons from 7 a.m. to 3, 4, or 5 p.m., that's a lot of talking. And I'm sure by the end of the day, you're a little golfed out, and you might have only made 4 swings.
Yeah, it's you know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, how's your game right now? And I answer them by saying, well, I don't know. I haven't hit a shot since the state pro-am a few weeks ago. But, you know, that's normal for this time of year. You know, I always say, if, you know, we're supposed to be busy right now. If we weren't busy, that there'd be something wrong. So
right.
We're happy to be busy, and we're happy to put in the long hours. I play a lot of golf in the spring and the fall, and that's, you know, I'm looking forward to getting out on the course again very soon.
You are.
But you are right. I mean, and I'm sure, Jerry, you feel the same way at the end of a long day with your voice. You have a little bit more of a strong voice than I do, but it does take a toll after, you know, 8 hours on the practice tee talking to people about golf.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll discuss a little bit more about playing links golf in different style shots, and Joe will give you some tips on how to do that, even just verbally, as opposed to being in front of you on the range at the Boyne Golf Academy. And a little later on, I do want to talk about Joe and how exciting it's got to be to play Crystal Downs, one of the truly great, great golf courses here in northern Michigan. All that and more when we return on Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone with me. And, Tim, all the majors are behind us, but we're going to have a really cool Olympic golf event coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm really interested to see that course in Japan.
Yeah, it's really cool. It kind of brings in a different perspective. I'm glad that obviously golf is in the Olympics again, so that's always fun. And nice to get behind your not only your favorite players, but obviously the you know, the USA, and kind of see how they compete out there in a little bit of a different kind of layout and environment.
I got to imagine any of the apparel that you have that has American themes on it has been really popular.
Yeah, we have some special limited runs from like Adidas, and we have, you know, some Puma Volition stuff that, you know, we have in stock. Yeah, a lot of USA stuff, and it tends to kind of, actually in the summertime around the 4th, it does really, really
sure.
well for us. But even in Olympic or Ryder Cup year like we have coming up too, yeah, that stuff does really, really well.
I forgot we've got a Ryder Cup on top of the Olympic. That's always good news.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the supply chain stuff for clubs has eased up. So if you weren't able to get clubs a little while ago, visit Carl's now.
Yeah, all categories really. Too, you get clubs, you know, bags and shoes. You know, depending on what you're looking for, there could still be a pickup here or there. But it has, you know, we do have a ton of stock right now. You know, and for those looking for something custom, obviously we're doing fittings every day here at both of our stores. And you know, I know a ton of customers are online right now. You know, customizing their clubs using the customizable widget that we have built into the website. So anything that manufacturers have and offer, you know, we pass that on to our customers. So, yeah, you can customize in-store, obviously, on the website. It's a pretty cool feature.
I couldn't agree more. You know what a big fan I am of custom fitting.
Oh, yeah.
Those Titleist irons are doing me very, very well. And then you've got the R10 launch monitor. Talk about that real quick.
Yeah, I wanted to start out there kind of as a hot product right now. I mean, it's coming out soon. Hasn't actually officially launched yet. It comes out a little bit later in August, but it's a, you know, it's a really kind of a small really well-built, well-done R10 Garmin Approach portable golf launch monitor. So, you know, you get all the cool statistics that you would normally get and you would expect from a launch monitor, hooks right up to your phone.
Right.
But they do have a really cool subscription-based app as well that goes with it where you can play, and it's built in over 42,000 courses that they have built in. So not only is it a launch monitor, which a lot of people really enjoy, but it's actually a simulator too. So, you know, you can hit into a net, you can do live ball flight with it, if I'm not mistaken. And
you can.
It's really kind of cool for those people, you know, if they're looking to, you know, set something up at their house or even in their garage or something like that. So it's been crazy popular.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some guys use it on the range. All you do is put your cell phone on a little stand right behind you, hit balls. Not only can you record your own swing, but it'll give you the data. It's a really cool product for the techie, geeky golfer.
Yeah, and here in Michigan, you know, year-round, you can set up something in the basement or in the garage, and you're good to go.
Tim, always great to talk to you, and always to know that Carl's is on the forefront of all golf technology. So visit carlsgolfland.com.
Thanks, Jerry.
Welcome back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with co-host Joe Charles, the director of golf instruction at the Boyne Golf Academy. Joe, you know, when you are going through the paces with your students, especially as busy as you've been, and I know that you've got a pretty large cross-sections of students, right? You've got youngsters, you know, whether it's kids, boys or girls. Then you've got experienced players. I know I've got two friends of mine that are going to be getting lessons from you. God help them. God help you with them. But what are you seeing, like a pattern with what flaws people are trying to fix, or is there just a myriad of issues that you have to try to get people to change a little bit to get better?
Yeah. So there, you know, we teach a lot of people that are trying to get into golf and, you know, kind of trying to learn some of the fundamentals of the game, obviously. We teach a lot of women in our golf schools. We do a ladies' golf school and a couples' golf school.
Right.
And with the ladies, they look for two things. They want better contact with their irons, and they want to hit their driver higher and further. And that second one, hitting the driver higher and further, kind of goes hand-in-hand with being able to hit their fairway woods off the ground. That's
right.
Another thing that's, you know, a huge ask for the ladies. So we talk about, you know, hitting the driver a little higher, and in general, that tends to change some release patterns, and it gets them using the sole of their three wood a little bit better rather than digging that leading edge into the ground, or, you know, God help us, not hitting the ground at all with a three wood, which we see a lot of that as well. But, you know, the first thing is, you know, getting the launch characteristics better, getting the ball up in the air a little more with those, you know, longer golf clubs, super important. And then another huge misconception that we see a lot is, you know, I have to swing easier in order to hit it further. And that's not really true. Now, we don't like people swinging hard necessarily, feeling like they have to, you know, clench their muscles up and really get after it. But we do like them to, you know, have speed. And swinging with speed is super, super important, especially for women who want to hit the ball further. I've never taught a lesson to a woman who didn't want to hit the ball further. You know, most golfers want to hit the ball further, not just women. And being able to generate speed, not necessarily with your body moving quicker, you know, and there are parts of your body that will move quicker, but making the club head move faster, that's essential. So we do a lot of speed training, actually, with our students, especially in the wintertime,
right,
to help them learn how to, you know, move a little quicker and make the club head move faster. That's a huge ask in our, you know, that we see in the academy these days.
I was mentioning to you off air, and you have, well, you don't have the same issue that I do other than the fact that you're very tall, but I'm sure at some point in time, balance becomes an issue, and that's one of the things that I kind of brought away from watching Louis Oosthuizen lately, you know, not only just this past week, but, you know, when he was so good in the PGA and the U.S. Open this year, is his balance is just extraordinary to me. And I think I actually took away something from that. Usually I spread my legs out a little wider to swing to generate some more speed, but that's causing me to lose my balance. So I actually brought my feet in a little closer together. If you notice, Louis does not have a very wide base, and he seems to swing so in balance, and being balanced will increase your rhythm, and it's really affected my driving accuracy and the distance.
Well, that's great, Gary. You know, one of the things that affects, you know, the distance is the ability to hit the ball in the center of the club face. And the number one physical attribute, you know, for golfers that affects your ability to hit the center of the club face is your balance. So, you know, one of the things that we do with our students, you know, usually in the first session that we meet them is we take them through a TPI physical evaluation. And one of those 16 physical screens that we do on them is a balance test where we have them do a single leg balance test where they actually have to stand on one foot, put their other leg, you know, with their thigh kind of parallel to the ground so the foot's up in the air, and they have to actually close their eyes, and we kind of see how long they can hold that position. And it's amazing, you know, the variations, or the, you know, the different ability levels in terms of balance. Most people aren't going to be as good at that as they think they will be. And just by working on some simple things like that, you know, one of the oldie but goodie drills that, you know, you'll do with students sometimes is the foot together drill. That's just an oldie balance drill. But we do a lot of stuff like that to help people, you know, get a sense for, you know, getting their feet underneath them and using the ground a little bit better. And by doing that and, you know, inevitably hitting the center of the club face more often, the ball goes further. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I was a little concerned about that before I did it. I was thinking, well, yeah, I see that he hits that in balance and rhythm, and I know you were watching some of the coverage, and that's what the announcers were talking about, the lovely balance and rhythm. He doesn't seem to have any change when he changes direction. The same, the speed is the same going up, going back. And I've concentrated a long time on trying to get that hit, you know, right at the point of impact, maybe speeding up a little bit. But unless you've timed that perfectly, and like you said, have it right in the center of the club face, it's not going to benefit you that much.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the same club, you know, and by tracking this, the launch monitors, by the same club head speed, you know, with the ball being hit in nine different parts of the club face, you know, center, center heel, center toe, high toe, high center, high heel, you know, and low heel, center toe, it changes the ball flight drastically and the distance drastically just by, you know, the same exact golf swing just hitting it in different parts of the face. So we do a lot of stuff with our students to give them a sense for what their patterns are in terms of contact. You know, one of the things that you can do at home if you're practicing and you don't have a sense for where you're hitting the club face, you know, really good players can feel if they hit the heel or if they hit the toe, right, but a lot of amateurs can't. What I would recommend is that, you know, you bring a bottle of Dr. Scholl's foot spray. It sounds funny, but it works so well. Bring some Dr. Scholl's foot spray with you out to the range. Spray the face of your club and then hit a golf ball. And you'll actually see in the powder, you know, from the powder residue on the face where that ball hit. Hit two or three balls, wipe it off with a towel, and then hit two or three more, and you'll start to see the pattern. Then you'll start to sync up a feel. What does it feel like to hit the heel? What does it feel like to hit the toe with a, you know, with a contact? And by doing that, and, you know, sometimes we always say knowing is half the battle. If you know you tend to hit the toe, you can actually focus on trying to hit the ball a little closer to the center or a little closer to, you know, actually maybe even feeling like the heel. You start hitting the center of the face all of a sudden, and good things start to happen.
Well, and I'm sure that's part of what you were doing with the ladies, going back to what you were talking about, getting the ball in the air, is moving the ball a little bit backer in their stance. Or ball position is another very crucial part of how you're going to get the ball in the air and how you're going to control it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we do is you know, obviously get the ball in really good ball position, and then we try to get people's upper body a little bit more behind the ball. A lot of people tend to kind of, you know, get the ball kind of, you know, inside their left heel with the driver or somewhere in the front of their stance like they're supposed to, but then inevitably they want to look at that ball from the same angle visually with their eyes, and they kind of lean up towards where that ball is, which really screws up their the tilt of their shoulders. So by getting their head a little more behind the golf ball, you know, this goes back to your question, what do you see all the time? What are the flaws that you fix all the time? By getting people a little more behind the ball or feeling like they're looking at the ball, you know, kind of from the right side of the golf ball or behind it, if you're a right-handed player, that puts you into a more powerful position where you can hit the ball a little more on the upswing and inevitably hit longer, higher, more solid tee shots.
Yeah, great points all. And we will get back to Joe and some of the techniques of getting better ball control when we return here on Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with the Director of Golf Instructions at the Boyne Golf Academy, Joe Charles. Joe, you've been teaching for a long time, and as you mentioned, throughout the years that you've been co-hosting with me, there's not really any student that you won't work with or have an issue working with, men, women, young, old, of physical impairments. That's why you give, you test a lot of these people to find out exactly what they'll be able to do before you start giving them instructions. But you were telling me about a guest you had out today who probably would have presented quite a challenge for you.
Yeah, so really, really special treat here at Boyne Highlands today. Dennis Walters was here, and he's a very famous trick shot artist who travels the country and does these golf performances for people. Does about 90 shows per year, and I would encourage all of our listeners to, you know, YouTube Dennis Walters, and it's pretty cool to see him hit a golf ball. And he's paralyzed from the waist down, and we had a junior camp that was going today, so I had 12 kids out there watching him, and the first tee was here, and a lot of our members from the country club of Boyne, and so it was a pretty good turnout to see Dennis hit some shots. He has a little dog that travels with him, and then he has an assistant who helps him set up his performance. And to see him be able to hit the golf ball the way he does, you know, only being able to move from his waist up, is really, really incredible. He has a cart that he, you know, is customized for him, where the seat kind of oscillates to the side, and he just kind of leans into the, you know, the seat, and it straps him in, and he just swings basically with just his arms. And he hits some incredible shots. He has a bunch of clubs that, you know, specialty clubs that he's made that he uses, and you know, clubs with it that are, you know, there's no shaft on it. It's just a chain with a club head on the end, and he's able to smoke the ball 200 yards down the fairway. I mean, it's really, really cool stuff. So, you know, we had him here today, and it was cool for me to be able to see that. You know, he actually worked when I lived down in Jupiter, Florida. He actually lives down there, and he lived at the same golf course where I was working when I was, you know, in high school, I'm sorry, in college on an internship. And so I've known him for a long time, and it was good to see him again. But to have, you know, a bunch of kids out here watching him, and, you know, I'll have kids once in a while that complain because they have a blister on their hand, or they have, you know, their foot hurts, or whatever the case may be. And to see this guy, you know, who's such an inspiration, be able to hit the golf ball the way he does, and he still gets up every morning and keeps doing it and doing it. It's really, really, it was really fun to see, and to see the look on their faces when he hit some of those shots was very, very cool.
Well, it's neat to hear those stories, and I've seen Dennis's act before, and yeah, he gets it out there. And you know what the best thing is that he does have a very serious affliction that might keep some of us from playing golf, but that gives him his greatest joy in you lately, the last few years especially. We've seen that, you know, like amputees and veterans from the Iraq wars and everything else, learning how to play golf with their different afflictions and having limbs amputated, and they still get the incredible joy of golf.
Oh, I mean, and that's really what it's all about, right? I mean, the last year I was at Treetops, we had the National One-Armed Golfers Association have their, you know, annual, one of their big tournaments at the golf course. And these guys are incredible. It was so cool to see them playing. I mean, one of the best player who kind of, I think he wins every single year, he's only got his right arm, and he shot like 78 on the Jones Masterpiece course from, you know, one tee forward from all the way back. I mean, and he hits his driver 275 yards. And you know as well as I do, Jerry, how difficult that golf course is.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so cool to see these guys, you know, hitting shots like that.
there's we've mentioned the book, A Course Called America, on the program quite a few times this year, written by Tom Coyne, no relation. And I just got done with an article last year that Tom on his Facebook page took all these different nominees to play a round of golf with him at Pinehurst. And all you had to do is name your dream foursome, and he would do his best to get it together. And the one that he picked was an Iraq veteran, and he wanted to play with the three MASH unit guys that saved his life. And
yeah, how cool is that?
It is. And, you know, he has got missing a leg and an arm and still playing golf. And it's throughout the book said, you know, those guys saved my life, but golf then saved my life. So many of these guys suffering from PTSD or whatever other afflictions, and the golf is the thing that the calm and the quiet of golf and the green and all the light in the space just makes for the best opportunity for them to feel better about themselves. I just think the whole that whole story is amazing.
Yeah, I used to work with the Military Golf League in Gaylord, and similar kind of stories. I mean, those guys, they, you know, the calm of golf, and, you know, PTSD is a real thing.
Okay.
And I think, you know, a lot of us who, you know, don't really understand it. I never really understand it until I actually got to know some of those guys. It's a real thing, and it stays with them their whole lives. It's not something they really ever completely get over. And that brotherhood that they have, you know, and just being with people and being able to tell stories, and, you know, the Marine guys are busting the Navy guys' chops, and, you know, and vice versa. You know, it's cool to see that camaraderie, but that the golf is so calming for them, and it gives them kind of an outlet for that. And that was some of my, you know, the best days I've had in Northern Michigan, just teaching some clinics for those guys and, you know, having some fun with them. And they're just so appreciative to be playing golf and be out on the golf course. It's just, it's really cool to see.
No, it's good lessons for all of us, especially like if, you know, I did it a couple of days ago. I was playing, and I had five, six great holes going in a row, hit a super drive. I've got a stock little wedge in my hand, and just open the face up and shank it into the woods. And
yeah,
I shouldn't get so upset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was playing golf. You know, I have actually, I got to tell you about this. One of my new favorite golf courses in Michigan, I was playing Gray Walls up in Marquette a few weeks ago,
right,
which is an unbelievably cool place.
Yep.
And I'm, you know, I'm kind of cruising along. I think I was like even or one over or something through 13 holes. And then I make like two doubles in a row. And I'm like, you know, obviously upset with myself, you know. And my buddy's like, dude, that's Lake Superior over there. And he's, you know, he lives downtown Chicago, and he's not used to seeing it. And I'm used, you know, I can see, you know, Little Traverse Bay every single day from my back porch. But, you know, he's just, his eyes are just like looking around like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest place in the world. And it kind of puts it all into perspective, like, gosh, we are so lucky to live here, and, you know, we're so lucky to be playing golf. I shouldn't be upset about making two doubles, you know.
Yeah, or at least try to internalize, okay, like, what did I do wrong? Go back to being the teacher, not, you know, the student, not the teacher, and understand why that is. It's a lot easier said than done, but going back to Northern Michigan, there are a lot of veterans up here because of the PTSD. They got away from the city and the noise and all of that. And so, I mean, I ran into a guy yesterday at a live broadcast I was doing at Jay's Sporting Goods, and one of the guys was a big fan of the station, and I asked him what he was doing. He said, oh, we came by here to see you guys and hopefully win something, then we're going to play golf. And I said, how's your golf game? And the one guy with the PTSD said, I'm out there for 4 hours. That's all I care about.
And that, you know, that, like you said, that puts it into perspective, and that tells us that there's more to golf than just the score on the scorecards. You know, for some people, it doesn't matter how well you play. I mean, it's about getting outside, enjoying nature, and enjoying the scenery, and, you know, and that peace and that tranquility. I mean, it's a beautiful game. It really is at the end of the day.
And you can get better listening to the dulcet instructions of the smooth voice of Joe Charles.
And, you know, it was funny. One of my students the other day was busting my chops, and she said, you know those commercials on TV, Dr. Rick, for Progressive, where he picks on, you know, he's telling the people not to be like their parents, you know, we all see it, the pink hair walking by, you know. She told me I sounded like Dr. Rick, and now she calls me Dr. Rick every time she sees me. It's pretty funny.
Joe, I know you're slammed, but just tell our listeners how they might be able to get some game improvement with you, or schedule something coming up to the winter.
Yeah, so really good resource, www.boinggolf.com. Visit us on the website. We're one of, you know, we're lucky here. We have a really special place. We have a beautiful indoor facility. We just got named this year again to the Golf Digest Top Golf Academies in America, and one of only two in Michigan. And it's a cool place. We have some great instructors, and we would love to help all of you with your golf game.
Well, thank you, Joe Charles, Director of Golf Instruction at the Boyne Golf Academy, for joining us on Finding Fairways. When we return, we'll have a conversation with Doug Bell, the general manager of the brand new American Dunes, here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio, and I'm on the phone with Doug Bell, who is the general manager and staff PGA professional at American Dunes. Doug, we had you on the show a couple of years ago about this wonderful project, Jack Nicklaus reclaiming the golf course down there, and now you guys are open for business.
Hey, Jerry. Yeah, it was, we look a little different. It feels a little different than the last time we were on the telephone. And, it's been great to have golfers on the project now versus before just giving tours in the sand to, the media.
Well, you and I have been trying to schedule this interview for a while because you've been so crazy busy. I don't think you're having a few golfers. I'd imagine your tee sheet's pretty full every day.
You know, yeah, Jerry, it is. We're very fortunate. We are certainly seeing more rounds than we had budgeted. I mean, we knew we had a feeling, a very strong feeling, that the golf course would be well received and that there would be a demand for play. You know, and whether you call it the COVID bump that we're all seeing at all the golf courses, you know, as you talk to all the courses, they seem to be busier than in past years. But we're certainly participating in that, or just the overwhelming desire for people to play it. But, you know, we're seeing upwards of 175 or more rounds a day.
Wow.
So it's been very good. It's been a fast 78-day start.
Yeah, Doug, let's go back in time a little bit. I know there's some stuff on YouTube and the Internet or everything else, but talk about the opening ceremonies with Jack Nicklaus and all the things that went on to give our listeners a flavor of just how cool and dramatic it was to finally open American Dunes.
We had Jack in on May 1st weekend. He was here, came in on Saturday. He, along with some other celebrities, helped us open up and dedicate our bar in the clubhouse, the Squadron Bar, we call Cabo. He was here Sunday morning and hit the ceremonial tee shot. We had a nice dedication of the memorial that people will walk through the Folds of Honor Memorial Wall as they enter the clubhouse. Had a nice flyover from a World War II formation group as a missing man formation as Jack hit his ceremonial tee shot off number one. And then just had a wonderful day. I mean, we got very fortunate that the 2nd of May, that Sunday, was a clear blue sky day. And it was chilly, cool, and the golf course didn't look quite like it looks today because there was no leaves on the trees down here. But overall, it was a wonderful experience and set the tone for the year. And the next day, we had 200 players, and away we went.
So what has been the response in general, or maybe some of the specifics that your playing public has gotten back to you guys with?
You know, Jerry, there's so much. We knew, and Colonel Rooney will has said this many times, and I think we all felt it as a staff as we got closer. The golf course is pretty good. And time will tell how good the public perceives it, the media perceives it, the Raiders will talk about it.
Right.
But it's a very good golf course. And people are going to come because they want to play the latest, greatest, the most recent product in the Michigan market. And they get here, and by the time they get to the clubhouse and they experience the memorial walkway and wall, and then if they're here around lunchtime when we play taps over our speaker system outside the clubhouse at 1300 hours, And when they play the golf course and they have a few videos that play on their GPS computer screens on the carts, that just very short stories mentioned by scholarship recipients' families, thanking them for playing. When they see the plaques, the additional 20 soldiers represented on the golf course that have lost their life in defending our freedoms, by the time they get done and they have a beverage or two maybe in the squadron bar and leave, the emails that I get back from people is that it's just not all about the golf course. You know, they came for the golf course, but they left with a different feeling. And so that's been the overwhelming response, that there's more here than just golf. And it's, I mean, there's some folks from around the country that are describing this as the most emotional day they've ever had on a golf course. So that's very, it's very nice to hear. The golf course itself is being commented, specifically that it's, fair. It's playable. If the wind blows, it's difficult, to certain players.
Yeah.
There is some sand in. So, you know, but Jackdaw is a very fair golf course. The tee to green, all men and women can move the ball forward and enjoy. If you get the ball going on a 45-degree line to the right or left, I really think it's like any golf course. It's not going to be the easiest day to play.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the case anywhere. But, you know, and I'm glad to hear that. I can't wait to get down. We're going to Kevin Frisch and I are going to try to target coming down there in the fall, early fall. Certainly want to have that experience. You know, it's perfect that we had you on today talking about emotionalism, and it's not just all about golf, because in the earlier segment, Joe Charles and I were talking about some of the changes that have happened in golf with COVID, where people are not nearly as focused on score. They're focusing on the experience, and that has brought in a lot of military folks that are really, golf has helped them survive and takes them away from, you know, their different physical ailments, whether they've lost limbs or they have PTSD. And golf is becoming more than just the game that we once knew it was.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when you can disconnect from, we've all experienced in the last year sitting in front of the television and the doomsday that the news can give you every single day about how the world is, you know, changed and not in a good way. But if you can break that cycle and get outside for, you know, 3 to 4 hours, enjoy camaraderie. Besides that, maybe the hour before or after, and you do that a few times a week. It's amazing how breath of fresh air kind of gets into your system. So it is. We see it every day. I'm looking right now. I'm standing this interview. I'm standing on our practice screen, and I'm looking at two veterans on our 10th tee teeing off, proudly wearing their Army hats, and just enjoying a great day. And you know, when I get emails from guys that say they brought their dad who was a veteran in and their brother was a veteran in, but they didn't serve, but still they got to spend 6 hours on here on property, 4.5 on the course, and the other hour and a half enjoying everything else. And then they send me a note saying it was just one of the greatest days they've had as a family. That's pretty awesome. I mean, as a golf professional, I'm used to getting emails that are positive, negative about a straight golf experience. Here, the emails are 50% about things other than golf.
Right.
And it's quite amazing to read some of those. And they're comments from people from Colorado to New York City that have fortunately come in and played here in Grand Haven, Michigan. So we're so proud, and I know Dan Colonel Rooney is so proud to add this product to the awesome Michigan golf menu that people can come up here and see and experience. It's been a special 75 days.
Yeah, Dan, I know there is a big desire. I'm sure your tee sheets are packed, but how do people get in touch with the golf course and get a tee time?
Right now, if you're wanting to play in the next 2 weeks, so the next 13 days, we just ask that you call the golf shop.
Okay.
I'm not going to kid you on this interview. We're busy. Most of July, most of August is booked through 4 o'clock every day.
Okay.
Or later.
Right.
September probably full through the first 10 days, and then it starts to lighten up. If you're looking at a tee time further out than 2 weeks, we ask that you go on our website, submit a request for a start time. It's a big red button right at the top of the screen. And that goes to my staff, who will call you back within 24 to 36 hours.
Okay.
There were a time, you know, a month ago that we were behind, and it was taking 4 or 5 days to get back to people because the demand was unbelievable. But now we're caught up. We've made some changes, and so you'll hear back from us, and my staff will be able to walk you through. So if a person picks a Saturday in September that's full, our staff can say, how about this or how about that, and see if we can get a different date picked out for you. So inside 2 weeks, the phone call to the golf shop, outside 2 weeks, an email request.
And the website is AmericanDunes.com?
AmericanDunesGolfClub.com.
Thank you. AmericanDunesGolfClub.com. And that phone number, Doug?
616-842-4040.
4040. Doug Bell, GM and golf, the PGA Golf Professional at American Dunes. Thanks so much for taking time out for us here on Finding Fairways, and God bless all the work you're doing.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I hope to maybe sneak up north yet this season and get around in, seeing some of my old friends up there.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about that off air. So thanks a bunch, Doug. That's going to do it for us today
okay.
on Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be with you next week. Thanks to Carl's Golfland for sponsoring. It's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin is on the phone with me. Ken, things just continue to get busier. You guys are just showcasing all the wonderful playing opportunities throughout the Boyne Golf Resorts.
Yeah, well, last week, Jerry, we were excited for golf in northern Michigan like we always are and the Open Championship. And after an exciting weekend, this week we're excited for golf in northern Michigan again as well as our own Tournament of Champions. The Pro-Am event, Friday and Saturday, just really shows that a great golf experience extends beyond the course and includes your friends and family and resort experiences.
Yeah, the Tournament of Champions. Now, how long has that been going on through the Boyne system, Ken?
29 years. This will be the 29th year we've held the Tournament of Champions. And the actual Tournament of Champions begins on Monday. It's a very unique format, I think, that has been copied since. But men, women, seniors, juniors, all compete based on different tees in the same tournament. We've had women in the top five, have not had a woman won it yet. But this year's field is just a stellar field of 115. There are 14 Michigan Golf Hall of Famers in it, seven previous winners, representing nine of the last 10 years, too, but including Jeff Roth, who's a six-time winner and that teaches at our Boyne Golf Academy and just played in the Rocket Mortgage Classic a couple weeks ago. The best women's field we've ever had. They have five father-son entries, three brother and brother entries, and a sister and sister entry.
And that's taking place on a Monday on the Alpine, Tuesday on the Monument, and then Wednesday back on the Alpine. And spectators are allowed, isn't that right?
Spectators are allowed. What we do is you need to walk the course, but we'll give you a ride up to the top of the mountain because both those tee boxes come off the top of the mountain and
right.
make their way back down to Deer Lake. But the courses are in great shape for the event, and you know, and both for the event and for your listeners to play after the event.
And that's what I was going to say. So go to BoyneGolf.com and play the courses the champions play. Ken, thanks a lot. We'll see you out there for the Tournament of Champions.
See you, Jerry. Thank you.